your kindness, that people will leave not saying what a great church or what a great worship service, but what a great God. And so, Lord, be glorified this morning. We thank you, we praise you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It is good to be here. It's good to celebrate with you and to worship with you. As was mentioned this morning, we celebrate our 15th anniversary as a church. After I share a devotional, we will get to hear some testimonies from our church family about God's grace to them during their time here. If you're new to the church, we started in April of 2003. We were sent out by Evergreen Baptist Church in the San Gabriel Valley. We planned for about a year or so, kind of thinking through our theological convictions and our ministry philosophy. There were 25 on our original core team and about 20 to 25 others that committed to going with us. We held one practice service before we launched, and then we started Lighthouse. In retrospect, we did not know much. We didn't have any grand plans for changing the world or even the South Bay. We simply did church. We focused on the preaching of God's word, on musical worship, on building community. We spent about 6 months at Magruder Middle School and about 8 years at Torrance High School. We were a church in a trailer. Even as I reflected on that this past week, I have truly fond memories of seeing everyone work so hard just so that we could have a worship service. I remember that we would meet at 8:30 in the morning with the children's workers. We would have what we called little service, and it was our chance to kind of worship together before, since they couldn't be in big service with us as they ministered to our kids, but it was such a good time. I think it took us a while to figure out kind of what we were doing, but God was always so gracious. Even though I don't remember us changing much, God eventually grew us until we needed another site, and in his perfect timing, we came here, where we've been since September of 2011. Over the past 15 years, much has happened. We've gone to do missions around the world. We've contributed well over $1 million to ministries that try to alleviate suffering while sharing the gospel. We've planted a church in Texas. We've seen people come to faith and many get baptized. Now, we've seen college students become interns, become pastors. We've seen suffering, and we've seen God's kindness in suffering. We've walked with one another through the joys and the sorrows of life. I think we've truly lived out 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And yet, as I was thinking of these things this week, something that came to mind that I've told many people is that we are a simple church. I don't know if we do anything spectacularly. You can definitely find better preaching. There aren't any laser light shows during worship. We don't own a multi-million dollar facility with a kids center that rivals an amusement park, and they have them. But it just reminds me of this truth. We are who we are by God's grace. We really can't take credit for any of it. God has been really merciful to us. In the last month or so, I've had the chance to speak at a few places outside of Lighthouse. And the thing I find myself saying over and over to people who ask about our church is this: God has been very kind to us. And on one hand, I think it sounds a bit understated, but the picture I have is of God graciously sustaining us year after year. We are who we are because of God's kindness. And that's one thing I really hope you walk away with this morning, that God has been really good to us. So how then do you celebrate a church's 15th anniversary? I looked it up. The traditional 15th anniversary is crystal. Not sure I'd incorporate that into a sermon, or it seems like a bit new agey, like if we gave everyone crystals and said, go be with God kind of thing. So as a church, we celebrate by pointing to God. Because like I said, our church is a testimony to his grace. I mean, if you would ask me when we started, if I thought we would be around in 15 years, I'm guessing I would have said something like along the lines, well, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't like bet on it. Like if there's a, don't put money on it or lose money. I mean, we didn't have a 15-year plan. We didn't have a 5-year plan. We didn't have a 1-year plan. We had a 1-week plan. And it usually was this: what should we do next week? Right? That was our plan for church. So I can honestly say we didn't launch with great plans of ministry, but really just a hope not to die as a church. Now, needless to say, this wasn't on our website. That wasn't our mission statement, like, try not to die. Well, we were, you know, obviously trying to tell people about Jesus, but we were just also trying to survive. But by God's grace, we have survived for 15 years, every single one of them really being a testimony to God's faithfulness. And so we celebrate not only to point to Christ, but really so that we don't forget. I mean, after all, it isn't easy to presume upon grace to show up week after week and assume that church will happen and that we'll be served in some way. I mean, if you're like me, amidst the busyness of life and ministry, I can forget how God is kind to us, not just on a weekly basis, but really a moment-by-moment basis. My kids and I, as we were discussing thankfulness in church and family worship this week, I discussed the idea of the magic hamper, right, where they put clothes in a hamper, and miraculously, these clothes are clean later, and they just go, and they have clean clothes. Nothing happens to them in between. And I was trying to remind them of this idea of being thankful, right, that the mom is doing these things, and it's not magic. Someone is doing these things. But I thought, you know, this is kind of our impression, too. Like, we just can show up on a Sunday morning and be so thankful that church happens. But do we realize that it's really God? That, I mean, he continues to send us, that every time we come and we can worship together, this is God's grace. And so we celebrate an anniversary like this, not just it's not to pat ourselves on the back or to congratulate ourselves on a job well done, but it's because we must not presume upon grace. We must not forget God's sovereign power and love as displayed in the life of this church. As the title of the devotion says, we must be a church that remembers. Remembers that God has been kind to us year after year. Really, then, a day like this is about the importance of thankfulness. Gratitude may not seem like a big deal. I mean, I think we usually file under some sort of idea of politeness. Like, obviously, it's good to be grateful. It's impolite to be ungrateful. One of the first things we do, we teach our kids, is to say thank you. But understand that the gratitude, especially gratitude to God, is more than just good Christian manners. Thankfulness is a recognition of God. It acknowledges who he is and what he does. It's about his goodness and greatness. And his lack of gratitude means we don't understand how significant God is in our lives and the life of his church. It's a refusing to recognize his sovereignty and loving hand over everything we do. And understand that thanklessness, a forgetting of God, is really a functional atheism. Now, that sounds like a bit of an overstatement, like, well, maybe I'm not as grateful as I should be. But the Bible actually takes ingratitude very, very seriously. In Romans 1, Paul's discussing salvation and points out that one of the marks of an unbeliever is ingratitude. Right? Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Consider that for a moment. For us, ingratitude is not mere impoliteness. It's functional atheism. It's a forgetting of God. It's a robbing God of his due glory. When we don't recognize and thank God for his grace, we are living like unbelievers. In other words, when we are thankless, we act as if this church is about us. It's about our accomplishments. But gratitude says it's about God and his grace and his glory. Thankfulness, then, is crucial to who we are as Christians. It's one of the things that separates us from this world. And this is important, not just individually, but corporately. Gratitude makes what we do as a church meaningful. And a lack of gratitude makes our ministry somewhat meaningless. Again, gratitude makes what we do as a church meaningful, and a lack of gratitude makes our ministry meaningless. Let me briefly show this to you in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring them. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 50. In Psalm 50, we have God himself speaking to Israel. So imagine for a moment if God were to speak to Lighthouse, if he gave his assessment of what we have done. Picture him evaluating our worship, not just the outward practice of the hands, but the inner praise of our hearts. What would he say? Well, this is what he says to Israel in Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Now, needless to say, this isn't good. He's going to testify against them. You want God not testifying against you, but this is what he says in verse 8. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. So the problem wasn't that they weren't doing church, so to speak. They were going through the rituals. They were offering sacrifices. In fact, they were continually offering them before God. What they didn't understand in all this was that God's big desire wasn't dead animals. Look at verses 9 through 13. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And he's pointing out the foolishness of acting like the sacrifices of animals in and of itself was pleasing to God, like he needed animals. I mean, he owns the world. Them giving him animals didn't make him richer. It didn't add to who he was. What then does he desire? Verses 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. What does he want? It's the gratitude of the heart. Right? He wants thankfulness. He wants them to acknowledge his grace and mercy upon them. As we do ministry, as we sing songs, as we listen to the word, as we go on missions, as we try to minister to the hungry, it's in danger of becoming meaningless, just religious ritual, if we don't do it with hearts of gratitude. And people can attend church and they can sing, and they can even serve without really acknowledging and loving God. But true gratitude of the heart recognizes all that God has done. It remembers that God doesn't need us any more than he needs dead animals, but he desires worship and the thankfulness of our hearts. So are you thankful? Are we as a church thankful? I mean, in light of who God is and what he has done, we should be ever grateful for his grace. I mean, this starts first with gratitude for the gospel and the truth that though we were sinners deserving hell, Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment we deserve in our place. He was treated and punished like a sinner so we would never have to be. And the gospel would be enough for us to thank God for eternity. But God doesn't just save us and then tell us he will meet us in heaven. He constantly gives us grace. He sovereignly orchestrates our lives for our good and for his glory. And so we must be thankful. On one hand, this is so we don't forget. In Psalm 50, verse 22 says, mark this then, you who forget God. It's a reminder that we are prone to forget that which is most important. And though this seems impossible, do you remember how often that this happened with Israel? God says, don't forget. Days later, they're making a golden calf. It wasn't just them, it's us. I mean, consider this. Even before he was crucified, Jesus instituted communion because he understood that even something as momentous as the cross could easily be forgotten. And again, part of me thinks this is impossible to forget what's most important, but if I am honest, I can go too long forgetting his grace. So as a people, we want to be thankful so we remember. I mean, I realize what will happen if we are ungrateful. If we forget what God has done, we will minister on our own power, and worse, we will take credit for what happens, and so we will try to steal glory from God. And so again, we want a day like this so that we remember as a church, that we ascribe to God all that he deserves. But not only is gratitude important for remembering, but it's important because it's worship. Verse 23 of Psalm 50, it says this, "The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me." Like I've said, thanksgiving recognizes God, that he is sovereign, the sovereign one over life. It acknowledges his love and kindness to us. It's a reminder that proud people aren't thankful people, and proud people don't honor God. And so gratitude is about letting life point back to God. By that I mean it's letting all that is happening around us lead us to thank God for all that he's done, from the joys of church, the church family, to the smile of your child, from the kindness of a friend to the opportunity to serve, from a good meal to a good day at work. All of these must lead us to thank God and recognize his grace in our lives. I mean, have you ever thought, why has God been so gracious to our church, or really any church? On one hand, it's because he loves his children, but it's also to point back to himself. We're supposed to see all that he does and thank him. As we come into this building on a Sunday morning and fellowship with friends and sing songs and listen to the words, as we go to small groups during the week, as we serve and pray and love one another, we should all be reminders that our God is a kind and a gracious God. Which brings us to a morning like this. It's a chance that we have to point to him, to recognize all that he has done. All that we are as a church is by grace. It's a morning of gratitude. Hopefully that comes out as you hear the sharings of our church family. Now, earlier, I gave a brief history of our church and focused on events and locations and things we've done. Hopefully, it kind of gives you some bearing as to who we are as a church. But understand that what is really a better picture of our church is the people. As much as I could describe the locations and accomplishments of Lighthouse in a few minutes, it would take hours and days and weeks to talk about the people. And so right now, we're going to hear the testimonies of some of our family members and God's grace to them. And so as you listen to them, keep a few things in mind. One, it is a daunting task to stand up here in front of you. And so pray for them and be kind to them. Two is remember that as you hear their story, it's really a part of our story. Because we're a family. As 1 Corinthians 1 points out, we do life together. And third, most importantly, let their story draw your hearts to Christ in worship. This day, like every Sunday, and like everything in the life of this church, is about him. And so let your hearts be moved to praise. And so with that, for our first testimonies, we'll get to hear from Zoe Kira and Taylor Ho, and they'll be followed by Joseph Tejada.
Good morning, Lighthouse. Happy 15th anniversary. My name is Zoe.
My name is Taylor. We're going to walk you through our experiences in the church, and hopefully you can see how God has used Lighthouse to impact our lives.
Before we start, my Uncle Jared, who most of you know, has asked me to give a shout out to my favorite uncle. So, Uncle Kim, this is for you.
On April 6, 2003, a church called Lighthouse Community Church had their first service at Magruder Middle School.
Technically, we've been there since day one.
We listened to Pastor Kim as we were hanging out in our mom's wombs.
And we've been sleeping.
Listening intently.
To his messages ever since.
Then on August 20th, 2003, I was born. And a month later, I went to visit my fetus friend Zoe in the hospital on September 27th, 2003.
Eventually, we made our way into children's ministry where we were immediately exposed to the gospel.
At first, we didn't think about it as anything more than a Bible story and simply answered every question with Jesus or God.
As it was repeated to us every class, it was hard to find any significance in it.
It was usually the thing to get through as we look forward to crafts and snacks.
Thankfully, God's faithfulness was shown through our dedicated Sunday school teachers who constantly pointed us to the gospel and helped us understand why it's so important.
After accepting Jesus into our lives, God has continuously used the church to help us grow in our faith.
One example of this is our parents, although this is a little unfair because both of our dads are elders.
But here's a little secret, elders aren't as perfect as you think.
But in all seriousness, we are both extremely blessed to be born into a strong Christian household.
Every night, my dad runs a family devotion where we go over scripture together and can call each other out on areas of our lives we can improve on. My parents are constantly encouraging me with ways I can live out the gospel at school and around my friends and teammates.
My parents are always there to talk to me about sports, school, and friends, and if I'm glorifying God in all these things. Before sports, my dad and I have four things to remember while I'm on the court. Love God, love others, have fun, and play hard.
As we are now high schoolers, we hear a lot of our friends talk about how they're struggling to get along with their parents and have witnessed fights between them.
We never have to worry about this happening because God has blessed us with parents who walk faithfully with him. We've seen firsthand how God has grown our parents through Lighthouse to shepherd us the way they do.
As great as they are, our parents aren't the only influences we've had at Lighthouse.
We've had an amazing youth advisors to keep us accountable throughout our middle school journey and the start of high school.
Every Friday, are going through now and aren't quite as old-fashioned as our parents.
Because we're a growing church, we get a lot of visitors at youth group.
Although we know that reaching out to these newcomers is the loving thing to do, we both struggle to step outside our comfort zone.
We are constantly encouraged to see how our youth group advisors welcome these visitors with open arms and strive to follow their example.
Along with our parents and youth group leaders, we have been blessed by all of you.
Every single one of you has impacted us, even if we've never met, because we've been able to see how God's sovereignty through the growth of this church.
We were able to take part in the campaign for a new church facility, which you guys are all in right now.
Although we probably contributed a solid 1% of the money donated, every Sunday school during prayer requests, the first thing we prayed about was for the new church building.
We were able to witness the church's generosity as God answered our prayers and we raised exactly the amount needed.
Since then, we've seen this church go from about 50 people to all of you, and this is only one service.
We're in shock at the idea of two services, and now there's three.
And lastly, God has used this church family to love us throughout these 15 years.
We could probably stay here all day giving examples about how this family has supported us, but for time purposes, here are a few.
Many of you have heard of Hotel Quo, which is the house where countless church events have been held. I've even lived there for 9 months while my family and I went through a house transition. I've had the chance to see the Quo's generosity and hospitality as they lovingly open up their home to everyone, including myself.
During my high school season of soccer, I received so much support from you guys who came out to watch me sit on the bench. But during this time, our kitchen was being remodeled, but the church family immediately came to the rescue. So many people readily cooked and delivered delicious food to us every week. I'm especially thankful for Corio Yang, I don't know if he's here, who many of you know, even though he is single and available, by the way, took time out of his super busy, jobless day to cook or pick up food for us multiple times a week, and God, in his sovereignty, blessed him with the job.
Writing this testimony, which we definitely didn't procrastinate on, has been a great time for us to reflect here at Lighthouse and appreciate the many blessings in our life that we often take for granted.
We hope our sharing has encouraged you to continue to love the church well, and we look forward to seeing God's plan for Lighthouse unfold in the years to come.
And of course, we are thankful that we got to walk through this together as sisters in Christ and partners in crime.
See you in another 15 years.
Thank you.
Hi, Lighthouse. My name is Joseph Tejada, and I've been coming to Lighthouse for a little over 3 years. My first couple of months were very difficult at Lighthouse. I came from a very different church in Brooklyn, New York, that was predominantly African-American and of Caribbean descent. I never grew up around any Asians where I lived. I only knew two. So when I moved here to California, I never imagined being around so many Asians, but I'm very thankful that God brought me here to Torrance. Coming to Lighthouse has definitely been a blessing to me and has really helped me in my walk with the Lord in many ways. One way how God has blessed me would be through the people here at Lighthouse. At first, I was very hesitant to go to Lighthouse because I was not used to the quietness. My old church used to have the pastor preach very passionately, walking up and down the aisles, and we would speak about how the gospel applied to his life week by week. Lighthouse, as we know, is very different from that type of atmosphere. Pastor David has shared in the past that Lighthouse is very far from being a church where the congregation speaks back to the pastor while he was speaking to us. Even though this is not what I was used to, what I have experienced is the love of the church family. I have never met so many people that would welcome me into their homes, even when they barely knew me. And they never treated me as a stranger. Another way God has helped me through is through the blessing of biblical counseling. It was very scary at first. I was unsure of letting my pastor know the sins that I was struggling with. I at first thought that my sins would be something that I would struggle with for the rest of my life. Letting my pastor really know what was going on inside of my heart and my struggles really left me open to what I thought was going to be judgmentally looking at me as a sinner. I was so wrong. During counseling, I didn't experience judgment, but rather grace. I was reminded that I am a sinner, but I was not alone. Christ died for all my sins and nailed it to the cross. We don't have to live with sin thinking that it will defeat us when Jesus defeated it on the cross. I was able to really dig deeper to what I thought was my only sin, but yet peel back layers rooted deeper than that. Sin is rebellion against God. Biblical counseling made it personal because Jesus gave up his own life for us. It is not only just breaking his law, it is saying that everything that he does for us, we tell him, God, we don't want you. Biblical counseling really showed me my true heart and how not only I was a worshiper, but I was rebelling against God and his glory. Biblical counseling really showed me how I substituted my own idols in my life and how I misplaced God as my true joy and sufficiency. I never knew biblical counseling was a thing before coming to Lighthouse, but I am so glad that I was able to go through it with such knowledgeable staff that helped me to point back towards Christ as not only my Savior, but God who comforts me and loves me every single time, and I can run back to him. While many people think that sports ministries are just a good time and a good way to get some exercise during the week, it was more than that for me. Sports were a third way in which God blessed me here at Lighthouse. I wanted to know people, but how? Sometimes it's difficult to get into the circles of the church if you're an outsider. God used sports to get to know this church family. The sportsmanship at volleyball and basketball is really something else. Growing up playing sports, I would always be around people who would just try to make their team win at any cost and play dirty to get the win. It is nothing like that over here. It was weird at first to see people calling fouls on themselves just because they're honest. By going to play, I was around different people like pastors, deacons, elders, and other members that I would have that I would never spoken to. I really got to know a lot of members and have meaningful conversations with them instead of the typical Sunday conversations of just trying to catch up from the previous time you spoke with them. And number four, all church retreat. I have to say that this is on the top of my list. This is where you really get to know the whole church. This is when church became family. All church retreat was when I really got plugged into Lighthouse and where I decided I really wanted to share my life with the people here. Pastor Deepak Raju really nailed down the key to making and being disciples here at Lighthouse. Since attending the All Church Retreat, I have seen how being a disciple of Christ has changed my life drastically by allowing Christ to be the center of my life and be around other believers in my walk with him. And lastly, the teaching here at Lighthouse has really been top-notch. I was used to previous pastors speak all over the place on a Sunday, and when I first came to Lighthouse, I saw the pastor reading from a couple of sheets of paper. So when I was speaking with someone, they really made me realize that every single word that were on those pieces of paper really have meaning to them, since they review them with the other elders and pastors during the week to make sure that the correct points get across and there aren't any tangents floating around. Every single word the pastors speak come from a good heart and is meant to guide the members of the church towards Christ and his grace and his sufficiency. God's faithfulness has really been just grace and mercy and kindness in my life. He has always been and will always be faithful, even when we are not faithful to him. Living by faith in the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ has been one of the key ideas that have stuck in my life throughout all its ups and downs. Thank you.
Stand and sing your God's great gift.
You may be seated. Right now, to continue to think through God's faithfulness, we'll have a couple more testimonies. The first will be by Beverly Bray, and then by Pastor Wayne and Mel Hu.
For about 4 years. I actually followed my children here. They came for a visit about 5 years ago, and I was living in Arizona. And after the visit, they called me and they told me two things about the church that I remember. One, that it was fundamental, evangelical, expository Bible teaching church. I know that's a mouthful, but it was music to my ears. And secondly, that the people were genuinely friendly. Okay, so being a little bit of a mama bear, I confess, I had to come and check it out for myself. And I came and I saw the church just loving on my family. And I was very thankful and I kept coming back. Over the years, we've been blessed to be a part of the work that the Lord is doing here at Lighthouse. And we've developed many loving relationships. Some of my most endearing friendships are right here at the church, women that walk with me, literally walk with me, and pray for me, and counsel me, and also hold me accountable. They're genuine relationships that tend to cross age barriers, racial barriers, cultural barriers. So I think that we're really doing a lot of side-by-side here at the Lighthouse. And I've really been blessed. Now, like some of you, my family has been through some difficulties over the years, but the church went through it with us. The elders have prayed for us, counseled us, comforted us, and it's been just a real blessing. We've been the recipients of so many blessings. Many of you have reached out to my son, Jim, and his wife, Gladys, and my daughter, Tish, and my precious little grandchildren. Thank you very much. Recently, my son was hospitalized, and so many of you reached out to my family. Someone came and took the children for a day. Many of you brought meals for us, visited him at the hospital, and a lot of phone calls and a lot of prayers for us. And this is my opportunity to say thank you again for that as well. Now, personally, I think that we're in a very unique position here as a Christian church in Torrance. I've had the privilege of being a part of a few other church plants that have impacted communities with the gospel for the Lord Jesus. And they were doing the same things that we're doing here, teaching through the whole Bible, training people how to share the gospel, and getting outside of our comfort zone just to reach others. I'm always impressed with what the impact that a caring church can have on a community. I'd like to share with you an experience that I had as a visitor at another church. When I moved back to Arizona, I called Grace Church and I asked for some names of some churches that I could visit there, some good churches. So they gave me the names of two master's graduates who had started church plants in Gilbert, Arizona. And I visited both of the churches. They were both Bible teaching churches. But the second one I remember as being a genuinely friendly church. As I was getting out of my car in the parking lot, a woman named Louise walked up to me, extended her hand. I think she kind of grabbed me like here by the elbow and introduced herself, big smile on her face, and led me into the church. But one thing she said to me as she was kind of guiding me into the church is, it's so nice to have a visitor. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this church is not that small. How did she know I was a visitor? So I follow her into the church, and all I see is this sea of white faces. And I thought, oh, that's how she knew I was a visitor. So she's still hanging onto my arm. I don't know if she thought I was going to bolt for the door or what. But anyway, she guides me over to her family, and she introduces me to her family. And still hanging on to me, she invites me to sit right in the middle of her family. And I just, you know, made me feel really welcome. Well, Louise and I became friends. I joined that church, and Louise and I served in the same ministry together. And something that she did that really made an impact on me, I realized later that as she was intentionally out in the parking lot greeting visitors, her beautiful daughter was dying of cancer. And that made such an impact on me. And even today, as I'm greeting visitors in our church, I think about that. You know what our priorities ought to be. So happy 15th anniversary, and thank you so much for your prayers for my family and for reaching out to me and my family. God bless you.
Okay, good morning, Lighthouse. I still remember our first Sunday here at Lighthouse. I walked into church 7.5 months pregnant, holding Caleb with one hand and Jossie with the other. They were 4 and 2 at the time. And it's gone by so fast. We've been here for almost 3 years now. And Allie, our youngest, is a physical representation of our time here. We first heard about Lighthouse through our dear childhood friends, Pastor David and Jamie Lee. David has been here since the beginning, and Jamie joined him a few years later. And over the years, we've been blessed to attend several Lighthouse events, a Good Friday service, Fall Festival, when Caleb was 2 and I dressed him as Clark Kent Superman, and Jossie was only a few months and I tried to dress her as Kryptonite, but she just looked like a green blob. I came to a women's Christmas breakfast when my friend Sachi was sharing her testimony of how God saved her. And we even helped with childcare for one of the first all-church retreats at Pepperdine. We actually have a picture to show us with the kids. See if you can recognize any of them. And there's another one. So in some ways, transitioning here to Lighthouse felt like coming to a familiar place. But in other ways, the church was much bigger than what we were accustomed to, especially coming from our previous church, where we had been for almost 10 years and knew everyone. Though we knew most of the staff here, we still weren't quite sure what to expect. Reflecting back on God's faithfulness to our family while we have been here at Lighthouse has reminded us of how gracious and kind He has been to lead us here. And we are blessed and grateful to be part of this church family. For me in this current season of life, I'm a wife, a pastor's wife, and a stay-at-home mom to our 3 kids. It's awesome, busy, and crazy, and sometimes all at the same time. My mind feels scattered quite often, but I'm thankful for how God reminds me of the truths that I need to hear week in and week out. I know that when I come on a Sunday, my heart will be refreshed and reminded of the most important things, and that is to love God and to love others. Through singing songs of praise and worship, the preaching of God's word, and fellowship with brothers and sisters, I'm constantly spurred on to feel my worship of God, to identify idols of my heart, and to ultimately find hope in the gospel. One of my favorite ministries here at Lighthouse is called Lamplighters, where moms with young kids gather on a Tuesday morning and have a time of teaching and small group after, while our little ones are cared for by volunteers. So thank you to so many of you who have served. It's amazing how much happens in those 2 hours between 9:30 to 11:30 and how really refreshing it is for our souls before we have to go back to the craziness of our little ones. I was blessed to attend Lamplighters with Caleb when he was just a few months old, almost 8 years ago. And now I have the privilege of serving with some wonderful ladies on Lamplighters Corps. Another ministry that is dear to my heart is children's worship. We've led children's worship for quite a few years now, even before we came to Lighthouse. And it's been fun to continue to invest in the children of this church, including our own, by teaching them God's word through musical worship. What was really special was that some of the songs that we taught at the Pepperdine retreat almost 9 years ago were still being sung when we came here. You know, Trust in the Lord, Treasure, I think those are some of the favorites. And even now, the joke amongst our children's worship team is that all the verses that we know by memory are the ones that we teach the kids. So that's good incentive to join our ministry. Another blessing of being part of Lighthouse is being able to live in community with each other. It is really sweet to be part of a local church, having so many friends who live close by. We love getting to see people throughout the week at church, at small group, at Target, at Costco. People have told us that once we moved to the South Bay, we would never have to leave the area. And we didn't understand that until we got here and discovered that we never went on the freeway anymore and that we were always close by, because you really have everything you need here. But what is particularly sweet about the friendships that we've formed here is that many of you have spurred us on to love Christ more as we've seen you walk through difficult trials and as you've just clung to Christ through all of it. So we are thankful for this church family, led by humble and gracious and hardworking men who seek to love and shepherd this flock that God has entrusted to them. Lighthouse is a really special place, and I've heard so many of you say that. And our church has grown numerically even since the time that we've been here, going from 2 to 3 services. And I really think that it's because people come here and they encounter God. They're reminded of how real and present he is, and they leave encouraged to always find hope in the gospel. We're thankful that that has been our experience here thus far, and we're excited to see how God will continue to use Lighthouse as an instrument of his grace in the years to come.
Good morning. I remember my first Sunday here at Lighthouse. I came on my own to first service without Mel and the kids and was greeted by Kenny Ceruta and Greg Hubert. And they shook my hand and asked if it was my first time at Lighthouse, and I said, yes, actually it is, and it's also my first day of work here. And I remember they looked at me with kind of a puzzled look, and then they said, oh, you're the new children's pastor. And I found out later on they thought that I was some college student since I was with by myself with my backpack on. And it's crazy to think that it's already been 3 years now. The week before our transition here at Lighthouse, people were asking about what I would be doing here at Lighthouse, what ministries I would be overseeing, what responsibilities I would have. And I remember this one friend mentioning to me as we were talking that, you know, sometimes God allows changes and transitions to happen in your life, not so much to see what you can do, but so that he could do a good work in you. And as I reflect back on these past years we've been here at Lighthouse, that statement is so true. As I think about not just how we serve in terms of ministry, but more so how much God has changed us and how he has grown us in our faith and our love for him and others. Being a part of the staff here, there's that natural desire to want to contribute and make an impact. But Mel and I have always said that we've definitely been more blessed than we feel like we've been able to bless others. And the greatest blessing that we've received is that our souls and our spiritual health has been and is constantly being renewed and revitalized. Having our souls refreshed and re-energized is something that I cannot give thanks to God for. I cannot give thanks to God enough for. Sorry. I'm not sure what I said. All right. This morning, I just want to share about 3 things that have most impacted my life and my faith through the ministry at Lighthouse, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you and a reason to give thanks to God. One of the first aspects of Lighthouse that has had a huge impact on me was how kingdom-minded Lighthouse is, with its focus constantly upward and outward. From day one, I remember thinking, man, there is a lot of ministry that is going on at Lighthouse, but there is also a lot of ministry that's going on outside of Lighthouse that Lighthouse is somehow a part of. And I've been challenged to really think through what it means to be a faithful steward of all the resources and the relationships that we've been blessed with. And I think that starts with keeping our eyes looking outside of ourselves and being encouraged by what God is doing all over the world. Everything from short-term missions to local evangelism to outreach events, connecting with other pastors in the area throughout the year to see how we can help them and learn from them, supporting nearby schools, our international student ministry, our intern program. I think I've grown a little more accustomed to it now, but I'm still constantly being challenged to ask myself, am I only investing in things that benefit me and my ministry, or am I willing to give of myself, my resources and my time, because it's something that God cares about, because it's something that will further the gospel for the church universal. Another way that I've been impacted by the ministry of Lighthouse is by the thoughtfulness and the effort that is put into loving people well, not just on the leadership level, but as I've gotten to know many of you through overseeing small groups and children's ministries, which I think covers a good number of you here, it's very clear that many of you seek to be excellent, not just for the sake of being excellent, but because you desire to honor God and to love people well. There are so many things that you don't have to do, but that you do anyway, even though it takes more time and effort and energy, because you see it as a way to build others up and point them to Christ. And I've been so encouraged by this attitude and this culture, constantly thinking, how can we bless others more? How can we give more? How can we invest more? And there are times where I'm tired, right? Things are busy, and but I look around and I see the other staff working harder than I am in the office, and also many of you lay leaders just serving and volunteering at random times throughout the week, mornings or evenings, weekdays or weekends. And that just fuels my heart and my desire to want to love people better and to love this church body better. And here's one of the greatest lessons that I've learned being here is that we are all needed and we are all needy. We are not meant to live this Christian life alone, whether you're an attendee or on one of our leadership teams. We are designed to live in community with each other. There is strength in numbers, if you know what I mean. It's NBA playoffs, right? Finally, the last thing that I really appreciate about the ministry at Lighthouse is that it is a culture that is hope-filled. And my prayer is that Lighthouse would continue to have this flavor, this culture of simply wanting to help and point people to Christ and to know as a certainty that change and transformation and maturity is truly possible in Christ and in the gospel. And though there will always be different challenges and difficulties as we are all broken people and in need of help, for me, seeing how many of you continue to serve and love and worship and give of yourselves despite your own sufferings and trials, that is one of the greatest encouragements to me. When I came on staff here, the elders made it clear that though they appreciate what I do, what they are most concerned about is that this would be a place where I could grow spiritually and be blessed, not only as a pastor, but as a father, as a husband, and ultimately as a follower of Christ. And that kind of gentle, humble, thoughtful leadership, shepherding from the leadership here is what I hope to emulate in my own life and ministry. So to God be the glory for the things he has done in my life, in the church body, in the leadership here at Lighthouse, and what he continues to do all over the world. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for sharing with us. We really appreciate hearing of God's grace in your life. Just as before we close in the last song, as I was listening to the testimonies, the verse that came to mind was Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And it made me think that's Lighthouse, right? For from him we started by his grace. Through him we are sustained by his grace. And to him we are for his glory. And so I pray that would be upon your hearts this morning. Why don't we stand and close in a last song? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the cross, for the salvation we find in it. And we thank you, Lord, for your continuous grace that you lavish upon us. Again, in so many ways we see, and so many more we don't even notice. You continuously lavish grace upon us. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Now receive the blessing of the benediction. It comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Amen and amen.